Good morning to all of you. It's a blessing to be here to worship again. Thank you, Jonathan, for those thoughts. The preeminence of the kingdom of Christ. And we are the limiting factor to what God can do. Are we giving him everything? I feel like I'm very new at this, very much in a learning curve in this thing of preaching. I shared that with David this morning, and he said, when you get it figured out, you let me know. And I thought, David's been preaching for many, many years. He should surely have it figured out by now. I especially feel the challenge this morning, and Jonathan mentioned the time change. Get about to this time of the service, and I know how it is. You've been sitting, and you sit some more, and we had an hour less of sleep, and suddenly the eyelids start feeling a little heavy. So I consider it my challenge maybe a little bit this morning to keep you awake. No. Want to do that with sharing the word of God. I want God to be glorified in what we have to share here this morning. Again this morning, I'd like to start out with a story to bring out a point. And by the way, thank you, Nelson, for sharing this morning. Really appreciated those thoughts, and I felt like I'm actually really amazed how God works in bringing our thoughts and our hearts together in a worship service and how they blend together. And some of the thoughts that Nelson shared here this morning are probably down the same line of what I'm planning to share. This morning, like I said, I'd like to start with a story and then go from there. And some of you may know this story better than me. This just happened a few years ago. In 2018, two men, the Diemel brothers from Wisconsin, made a deal with a man from Bremer, Missouri, which is about 20 miles from Richmond, where we used to live, to take care of cattle for him, for them. They sent the cattle to him. He was supposed to grow them, sell the cattle. They were going to divide the profits. So from November of 2018 through April of 2019, they sent several semi-loads of cattle to this man in Bremer, Missouri. Joey Nelson was a young man in Bremer. He did sell some of the cattle. He did send them some money. But over time, things deteriorated. And I think it was in June of 2019, he owed them over $200,000 for cattle that had supposedly been sold. So he sent them a check for $215,000, mailed it to them. When it got to them, it was torn to where he had intentionally tore the check to where they couldn't cash it, and later found out that he had 21 cents in his banking account when he sent that $200,000 check. So they had, of course, made contact with him, and Joey Nelson said, well, why don't you just come down here and get your money? So Nick and Justin Diemel flew to Kansas City, rented a Ford F-250, drove out to the farm at Bramer, and met Joey Nelson. What they didn't realize was that Joey Nelson had been involved in cattle fraud before and had actually served some prison time. He was out and was involved in cattle again. But he absolutely had no idea how to take care of cattle. The cattle were all thin. They were not growing. They were in terrible shape. He had put bales of hay with plastic around, put them out there for the cattle to eat. The cattle ate the plastic while trying to get to the hay, and they died. Many, many cattle had died. So, when they got there, nobody knows exactly what happened, how it all happened. What we do know is that Joey Nelson illegally had a .30-30 deer rifle in his possession. He took that rifle and shot the two brothers from Wisconsin. Nick was 35, married, and had several children. Justin was 24 years old and was also married. After he did that, he put their bodies in barrels and burned them. He took the barrels, dumped them out. He dumped one in a large manure pile and tried to mix it all up. Did his absolute best to try to destroy all evidence. He took the one barrel, dumped it into a mineral tub, put the barrel in a cattle trailer, and sold the cattle trailer. And then he took the F-250 that the men had rented, drove it to a commuter lot, and abandoned it. What did Joey Nelson not do? What was his greatest downfall? The title of the message this morning is Walking Honestly. If Joey Nelson would have been honest to start with, he'd have been up front. He wouldn't have took these cattle on. He'd have told them. If he'd have been honest when the cattle got thin and died, he'd have been honest and told them. When he couldn't pay the bill, he would have told them. But you see what dishonesty led him to do. It took him much further than he ever thought. It took him to killing two men and destroying evidence. For a text, let's turn to Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 14. Excuse me. And I took the title from these verses. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that it is now, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, excuse me, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. I give this message this morning not to specifically target any one or any specific situation. I give this message as a result of my own journey and learning to be open and honest and vulnerable. And I'm not there yet. I'm still learning. But I see how important it is in relationships, especially, it's in every relationship, but I see it especially in our brotherhood relationships, husband and wife relationships. But in brotherhood relationships, it's so important to be open and honest and vulnerable to each other. It builds trust. That's what our relationship is actually based on. One thing that actually really stood out to me in this excuse me. One thing that really jumped out at me. Especially when we read this in our Sunday school lesson, this chapter 13, some time ago, the two phrases, let us put on the armor of light and let us walk honestly. Have you ever thought of walking in the light, walking openly, as protection? It is. Armor is protection. Walking openly and honestly is protection for ourselves. Walking in the light is openness. You know, we can walk in darkness. When we walk in darkness, we walk at night. If we're outside walking in darkness, no one can see us, right? Walking in the light, we're open. We're just there. That's light. And I another thing I wanted to say here at the beginning is that I'm assuming that we're talking to people that are part of a brotherhood. As God's people, we are children of light. We have nothing to hide. When we walk honestly, it's openness before God, first of all, but also before our fellow men. Where did the need for cover begin? If we look back in the history of mankind, where did that begin? Well, we don't have to go very far into the existence of men to find that. In Genesis chapter 3, turn back there if you want. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden? I'm sorry, we're going to read through verse 13. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife Eve, his wife, hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree, whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said to the woman, What is this that thou hast done? The woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And we'll stop there. So what made Adam and Eve decide that they needed to be covered? It was sin. And you know, that's, I think that nature was passed down to us through this experience. Every one of us, when we experience sin, our first reaction is, cover it. Cover it up. Nobody needs to know. Sin brings guilt and shame, and that's the reason we cover. Guilt and shame destroys openness. Guilt and shame brings the need to cover. Sin always takes us to that point. That's our first reaction. Proverbs 28, verse 13 says, in a very, just a definite statement, and I think it's something we need to take heed to. Solomon, I think when he wrote this, I think it was probably Solomon that wrote it, I think knew very well what sin was, and he had learned some things. He says, He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. So, as we realize our sinfulness before God, there's three things. Two things that we need to do, first of all. We need to be honest with ourselves. We see ourselves as sinful. We sit without God, we are nothing. We're sinful. That's the way we are. We need to recognize that and be honest with ourselves. We are not good without God. Before God, God is holy, righteous, eternal. And we also need to be honest with this. He is merciful and gracious and kind. And when we recognize that, we also recognize that God, that we need Christ's power in our lives to save us. There's nothing that we can do of ourselves. And we're honest before God. And then we're honest before God as we go through life. And as we recognize that and we give our hearts to God, and we allow him to make that change in our hearts. And we go on. And you know, our flesh is still with us. We never lose that. Sin still, there's always temptation. Sin still gets us sometimes. And we fall. We make mistakes. And then we need to be honest with God about our failures. Like Nelson mentioned this morning, bring those things to God. Lay them there. That's what Christ died for. He died for our sins. He died for our failures. He died for those things that we face. And then as we're honest with ourselves and honest before God, the tricky part is, and this is something that I have had to learn, and I think many of us do have to really work on, is being honest and open with our fellow men, especially about our failures maybe, but not only about our failures. As we're open and vulnerable with each other about needs in our lives or even about the joyful things in our lives, that those things shared bring a bond and draw us together. I'd like to look at Daniel book of Daniel and look at Daniel's example in this. Daniel chapter 2. Very interesting story here, and maybe one that we're not quite as familiar with. We always think of Daniel and the lion's den, right, children? Daniel chapter 2. I'm going to just tell you part of this story instead of reading it for the sake of time. So here we see Daniel and his three friends had been brought captive from Jerusalem into Babylon. They were here in this country on their own, by themselves. But they had, Nebuchadnezzar was a king. The men had seen how these men stood out. Daniel and his three friends, they stood out. So I think Daniel, the way it appears, Daniel was actually a part of the wise men to a certain extent. So Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he couldn't remember what his dream was, but he called his wise men in, and he said, look, he said, I've had a dream. I want you wise men, you tell me what my dream was, and you also tell me what it means. Daniel was not a part of this. And they come in and of course they couldn't tell him what they said, well, you tell us what your dream is, and then we'll give you an interpretation. And Nebuchadnezzar basically said, well, I know what you're gonna do. You'll just make something up if I tell you what I thought it was. You tell me the dream, and if you can't tell me, I'm gonna kill you. And that's what he proceeded to do. So Daniel, they came, Nebuchadnezzar sent his men to go get these wise men to kill them, and they came to Daniel, and Daniel said, well, I didn't know about this. He said, give us some time. We see that in verses 16 to 18. I might read those real quick. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. And this is what's interesting. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men. You see what Daniel did here? Daniel could have said, this is my deal. I need to just go and I need to have my time with God and I need to figure this thing out. God's going to give me the interpretation. I know he will. And then I'll go back. But no, Daniel went in. And the first thing he did is he told his three friends about this need. And he said, we need to pray to God, all of us. We're in this together. And that's what they did. They came to God together, and we know what happened. God did reveal to them what the dream was. God did reveal the interpretation, and Daniel goes back to the king and gives it to him. Isn't that an example for us today? We take our needs, the things that we're facing, and we go to our brotherhood, or maybe not to our whole brotherhood, maybe it's a few friends, and we tell them, look, I have this need. Can you pray with me in this? And then let's look at the end of the chapter, verses 48 and 49, same chapter. Then the king made Daniel a great man, gave him many great gifts, and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king and set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. So these are the same three men. They're named different here in this verse. Same three men. But look what Daniel did. Daniel went back to the king after, when Daniel was honored for giving this interpretation, He was honored, but Daniel did not forget the three men that were with him and praying to God for the interpretation. And he requested of the king at that time, he said, can we give these men a little bit of a position, a better position than where they've been? And he lifted them up to where it's not just Daniel being lifted up. And Daniel, you know, and we read that, Daniel didn't take the glory to himself. Daniel pointed the glory to God, but he remembered those three friends that had been with him. And I see that as a beautiful picture of the way brotherhood should work today. We go to each other with our needs, the things that we're facing, and we share those things. When we have answers, we share those joys with each other. And it's a shared experience, and it bonds us together. Openness and vulnerability builds trust. And one thing that came to mind when Nelson was sharing this morning, openness and vulnerability also has a potential for pain. Those that know us best know us well. But, you know, if we're open and vulnerable, we can work through those things that cause us pain. We can work through that together. You know, I think many misunderstandings and suspicions of each other could be avoided by open and honest communication. If we just communicate openly and honestly, and it works both ways. It's not just on one side. But I think as we open up, it helps other people to open up to us. It takes openness. It takes humility to be open and vulnerable. Without humility, this is going to go nowhere. Because if we're not humble enough to open ourselves up and say, I have needs, we can't do that and expect the other person to say that I have needs. We're honest with our brothers and sisters about our failures. We recognize that our failures and we share those failures with those around us, our brothers and sisters. This is something that I've said a few times, and I'll say it again. You know, sometimes we fall into something. We actually fall into a sin. And you know what? There again, our first reaction is cover it up. Nobody needs to know about this. But you know, or maybe we think, I can just confess this to God and I'll get forgiveness. Does God offer forgiveness for that? Absolutely. We do have forgiveness by privately confessing. But you know what private confession does? It sets us up to be a repeat offender. When we confess publicly, and when I say publicly, that can mean to someone. We confess to someone that we've fallen. There is power in that. There's power to overcome that. Power to keep us. We have some accountability there. The true shame is when we keep that hidden completely and we let no one. And you know what? When we keep it hidden, there's a binding power to ourselves. And I come back to Romans chapter 13 there where it says, walk honestly as in the day. And when we do that, there's an armor of light, armor of protection that surrounds us when we open up. Hidden sin hardens our hearts. We keep sin hidden. We don't confess it publicly to someone. And we just keep it there. And I think you all know what I'm talking about. We see people that have kept sin hidden for years and the hardness that takes place in those people's lives. I think it's well to go back to the verse in Proverbs again. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. I'd like to talk just a little bit now, as again, as a brotherhood. I'd like to turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. Again, I'm talking to people that are a part of a church, children of God. And I'd like to talk a little bit about openness between leaders and the laity. I think it's so important there is that openness and vulnerability from both sides. Let's just read 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 11 to get context here. Excuse me. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I see this chapter is talking, the first few verses there, specifically to two leaders. But as we go through the chapter, I think we see that this is for everyone. That mutual submission to each other and mutual caring, openness, and vulnerability is absolutely essential to good relationships. It talks about submitting to one another, the mutual submission. And that's something that we heard about at the marriage retreat here several weeks ago, and applying it to marriage. And I see the same principle applying right here in our church relationships. That mutual submission, we submit to each other. We care for each other in a very definite way. We care about your wants and your needs. And that goes back and forth. And if we have the mind of Christ, we esteem others better than ourselves. I think our relationships will grow. I remember Nolan preaching here a few weeks, and Nolan Yoder from Oklahoma preached here several months ago, and he talked about how we don't operate in our churches as a hierarchy, where the leaders are somewhere up here. And the rest are down here. We don't operate that way. We have different roles, but we submit to one another. Different roles, but pulling as a team to one common goal. And you know, as we each find our place in working together, it's amazing what can be done. God can work when we each find our place. Just a few verses in closing. John chapter 3. I know this is Jesus talking. John chapter 3, verses 19 to 21. And this, again, is I'm maybe taking these out of context just a bit, but I don't think it's doing any damage. John chapter 3, verse 19, and this is the condemnation that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now this is talking about believing in Christ, and Jesus is talking about hiding sin and keeping not coming to light with our sins. I'd like to challenge us. Even if you're not hiding sin, but you haven't been open and honest with the brotherhood about what's going on in your life, I challenge you to commit to doing that. Just open up to someone. It's essential to your spiritual health to open up to those around you. As a brotherhood, it's essential to our relationships to be open and honest and vulnerable. So I'd like to leave that challenge with us today. There's many things that can distract us, and many times we think that we can handle life on our own. That's not true. We need each other. We need each other very much. So thank you for your attention. May God bless each one of you for being here today. Let's stand for prayer. Father God, you've been with us. You blessed us today. I thank you for your grace, your goodness, for all that you do. Thank you, Lord, for the compassion that you've had on us. And Lord, as we think of being open and honest, walking honestly, Father, I pray for this, everyone here, that we could open up to each other, that there could be an openness and vulnerability, and that our relationships could grow and relationships could be healed. We need you, Father, in this. It doesn't come naturally, so we need your help. So I pray for everyone in this audience. Thank you for all the visitors that are here as well. I pray that you would bless them as they go back to their homes. And Lord, just bless us, Father, this day. May all that we do honor and glorify you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.